Today we have the privilege of starting Divrei HaYamim Bet Perek Kaf, chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. This is a very, very fascinating chapter. It is a record of an historical encounter between King Jehoshaphat and his army on the one hand, and the Moabites and the Ammonites who dwell on the east side of the Jordan on the other. But if we look at it more carefully, it's really not an encounter of a war between the Moabites, the Ammonites on the one hand, and King Jehoshaphat's army. There's almost no armed conflict in this whole chapter. If we look carefully, we'll see there actually is no armed conflict. Rather, it's an account of a threat. This is done in four parts. First of all, the threat is developed. Then we find the pre-war encouragement. Then we find the events surrounding the war. And then we find the Thanksgiving. And if we look carefully at this, we find that the narrative here follows a model which is found in Sefer Shemot. It is deliberately taking the idea of Kriyat Yamsuf and using many of the elements in Kriyat Yamsuf in recounting this story. Kriyat Yamsuf, the Jews stand between a rock and a hard place. They stand between the Midbar and Mitzrayim. Between the Yam and Mitzrayim. There's nowhere to escape. And this chapter deliberately creates the same idea of there's nowhere to escape. The Jewish polity is in danger. The Jewish presence in the land of Israel is in danger. And as a result of praying to God, God rescues the Jews and allows them to remain in the land. We have no historical records of this event outside of Sefer Divrei HaYamim. It's not mentioned in Melachim. And the importance Divrei HaYamim seems to attach to it makes it somewhat unusual that such an event would not be mentioned in Melachim. I think one has to understand this event as part of the larger scope of the Jehoshaphat cycle. The Jehoshaphat stories are designed to show that God helps those who are loyal to Him. And so first we have a story of Jehoshaphat's appointing teachers throughout the land, and then God saves him from his misalliance with Ahav. Then we have the story of Jehoshaphat establishing judges throughout the land. Then following that, we have the story of how God saves Jehoshaphat from this attack of Bnei Amon uVnei Moav. Did such an attack happen? Probably. Does Baal Sefer Melachim see it as having the same universal sense of importance that Baal Divrei HaYamim attaches to it? Certainly not. This is an event which can be narrated in multiple ways. And Baal Divrei HaYamim chooses to narrate it following the model found in Kriyat Yam Suf. Now let's look at the first four verses which introduce the story. We'll look at those briefly, and then we'll look at Jehoshaphat's statement in Pasuk 5 to 13 in much greater detail. The first four verses briefly state that an army of Ammonites and Moabites comes to fight against Jehoshaphat. They're assisted by people from Aram, and they are located at Ein Gedi. So the battle takes place on the shores of the Dead Sea. In Pasuk Gimel, Jehoshaphat does the action that Divrei HaYamim sees as central, Darash et Hashem. He seeks out God, declares a fast for all of Yehuda, and Yehuda then in Pasuk Dalet gathers to seek out God. Pasuk Dalet vayikavtsu Yehuda levakesh me'Hashem gam mikol arei Yehuda ba'u levakesh et Hashem. So all of Yehuda gathers to seek out God, from the surrounding cities they also come to seek out God. The periphery has become tied to the center by Jehoshaphat's actions in appointing judges. Pasuk 5. Jehoshaphat stands up in the community, in the congregation of Yehuda, and makes the following declaration to all the people. Pasuk Zavav, Yehoshaphat's speech in the Beit HaMikdash. Vayomar, Hashem Elokei Avotenu, halo atahu Elokim Bashamayim, ואתה מושל בכל ממלכות הגויים, ובידך כוח וגבורה ואיני מיכל להתייצב. He said, Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not the God in the heavens? You rule all the kingdoms of the lands, and your power is strength and bravery, and there is no one who can stand opposing you. It's the introduction, the idea of God as a universal king. Pasuk Zayin. Hello, Atar Lokeno Horashta at Yoshevei Haaretz Hazot Milifnei Amecha Yisrael Vatitinah Lizera LeAvraham Ohavcha LeOlam. Have you, God, not dispossessed the inhabitants of this land from before that your people Israel and given it, this land, to the seed of Abraham, who is loyal to you forever? So the idea of God not only is in theory powerful, but in practice is powerful, and that's exhibited by his giving of the land to the Jews. They dwelled in it, they built in it a temple for your name, saying. What was the purpose of the temple according to Pasuk Tet? Im tavo aleinu ra'ah cherev shvot v'dever v'ra'av na'amda lifnei habayit hazeh ulfanecha ki shimcha b'bayit hazeh v'nizak elecha mitzaratenu v'tishma v'toshia. If evil will come upon us, such as sword, in other words, an opposing army, shifot, here used as a term for battle, v'dever v'ra'av, cattle plagues or famines, we will stand before you in this temple, and before this temple and before you, for your name is in this temple. We will call out to you from our troubles. You will listen and you will save us. Now behold, Yehoshaphat says in pasuk yud, and ve'ata always indicates the transition to the pith of the matter. Hinei v'nei amonu mo'av v'har seir asher lo natat al Yisrael avov v'hem. Behold now the Ammonites and the Moabites and the inhabitants of Har Seir, whom you didn't allow the Jews to enter into their lands when the Jews left Egypt, because the Jews departed from upon them and didn't destroy them, and I'm using the Jews when I should really use the Israelites. Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'hine hem gomlim aleinu. Behold, they are planning to recompense us. How? By coming and expelling us from the land, from the inheritance which you have given to us as an inheritance. So in other words, you gave the land to the Jews, you didn't let them take the land of the Ammonites and Moabites and the Edomites. Now those people are coming to kick us out of our land. Pasuk Yud Bet, pith of the matter. Elokeinu halo tishpot bam. God, will you not fight for us against them? Ki ein banu koach lifnei ha'amon harav hazeh haba aleinu. Because we do not have power to oppose this large mass of people who come against us. Va'anachnu lo neidama na'aseh ki el alecha einenu. And we do not know what we will do, for our eyes are looking towards you. In other words, we rely upon you. This is an expression of total reliance on God, which will be answered in the subsequent psukim. There is then an encouragement from the Levites, more specifically from Yechaziel, whose genealogy is given in verse 14. We're told that the Spirit of God comes upon him, and in verses 15 through 17, he gives an instruction to the people, which consists of two main statements. One, do not be scared, in Pasuk 15. And in Pasuk 17, he gives the central point, Pasuk 17. Lo lachem lihilachem bazot. It is not upon you to fight in this matter. Hityatzevu imdu ureu et yeshuat Hashem imachem, Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Stay in place and see the salvation of God, which will be with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. This is a direct adaptation of the statement of Moshe Rabbeinu before the Jews crossed the Yam Suf Hityatzvu Ru'u et Yehoshuat Hashem. Continuing Pasuk 17, Al Tir'u V'Al Techatu Machar Tzu'u Lifneichem V'Hashem Imachem. Don't be scared and don't be fearful tomorrow. Go out before them and God will be with you. The battle is not yours, the battle is God's. This is an idea which we find in Sefer Shemot, Perek Yudalad, and we find this idea repeated here. In this way, this story directly is based on the story of Kriyat Yamsuf in Shemot, Perek Yudalad. Yehoshaphat acknowledges this. Pasuk Yudchet, Vayikod Yehoshaphat Apayim Arza, V'chol Yehuda V'yoshvei Yerushalayim, Naflu Lifnei Hashem, Lishtachavot Lashem. Yehoshaphat bows down on his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fall before God to bow to God. So there is a recognition that they will obey God in this matter. The prophetic encouragement that we saw in the previous psukim serves sort of instead of a prophetic warning. And they go out to the army. They go out to the battle in Pasuk Kaf in a very unusual way. Pasuk Kaf, Vayashkimu Vaboker, Vayetzu Limidbar Tekoa. They wake up in the morning and they go out to the desert after Tekoa. You know where Tekoa is. It's the desert between Tekoa and the Dead Sea, where the Darajah stream runs, where the Darajah Wadi runs more accurately. Uvutseitam Amad Yehoshaphat Vayomer Shema'uni Yehuda V'yoshvei Yerushalayim Ha'aminu Bashem Elokechem V'teyameinu Ha'aminu Binviav Hatzlichu. Yehoshaphat calls out to the people as they're going to battle and says, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Consider God reliable, and you will yourselves be reliable. Consider his prophets reliable, and you will succeed." Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Vayivatz el ha'am, Vayamed mishorim l'Hashem u'mahalim l'hadrat kodesh, Betzet lifnei ha'chalutz ve'omrim hodu l'Hashem ki l'olam chasdo. A very unusual battle. Yehoshaphat takes counsel with the people, and he establishes singers to sing praises to God, as well as praises for the temple, which is very unusual, who go out before the first party of the army, and these singers sing Hodu Lashem Ki Lolam Chasdo, give praise to God for his kindness is everlasting. Pasuk 22, Uve'et Hechelu Virina U'Tihila Natan Hashem Me'aravim Al Bnei Amon Mo'av V'Har Seir Haba'im Liyuda Vaynagefu. And as they are beginning, at the moment that they began their song and their praise, God appointed watchmen upon the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the men of Har Seir, the Edomites, who came against Yehuda, and they were defeated. In other words, they were defeated by ambushmen appointed by God as a result of the Jews' praise of God. The Jews don't actually take up arms here. Fascinating battle. Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Vayamdu Bnei Amon u'Moav al Yoshvei Har Seir la'acharim u'la'ashmid u'chechalotam v'yoshvei Seir azru ish bere'ehu l'mashchit. The armies of the Ammonites and Moabites go against the inhabitants of Har Seir to destroy and to extirpate, and when they complete defeating the inhabitants of Seir, they fight against each other. In other words, the Ammonites, Moabites, and Edomites fight amongst themselves and defeat each other. The Jews don't need to lift a finger here in battle. Pasuk 24, V'Yehuda ba l'hamitzpeh l'midbar. Judah comes and stands on the lookout point towards the desert. They look, V'yifnu el ha'amon v'inam pigarim naflim arza ve'in pleita. They are all dead on the ground. This is clearly modeled on the story of Yamsuf, all of Mitzrayim, dead at the sea, and it's also, of course, modeled on the story of Sancheriv at the gates of Jerusalem, which is itself modeled on the story of Yamsuf. Vayavoyo shafat v'amor lavozet shlalam, vayimtzu v'hem larov urchush ufkarim uchli chamudot, v'leinatzlu lehem le'en masa, vayu yamim shlosha bozazim et hashalal ki rav hu. Yehoshaphat and his army came to despoil their booty. They found among them very great amounts of booty, as well as property, corpses, desirable objects. They seized them to an extent that it was not possible to carry. They were there 3 days, despoiling the booty, for it was very considerable. Pasuk 26, Uvayom harevi'ini kalu le'emek beracha, kisham berachu et Hashem, Ken karu et hamakom ahu emek beracha ad hayom. On the fourth day they gathered to the valley of Beracha, for there they blessed God. Therefore the place was called the valley of Beracha, the valley of blessing, till today. Where is that valley? I don't know. There is a point south of Gush Etzion that's marked on the topographic maps as emek beracha. Is it the same valley? It's a good question. Pasuk 27. Vayashuvu kol ish Yehuda v'Yerushalayim v'Yehoshaphat b'rosham lashuv el Yerushalayim b'simcha. All the men of Judah and Jerusalem, as well as Yehoshaphat and their lead, returned to Jerusalem rejoicing, for God had rejoiced them from their enemies. And here we have the same idea that we saw in Yehoshaphat in chapter 19, when Yehoshaphat went out to fight against, when Yehoshaphat went out to establish judges in the land. He did this, and then he returned to the city of Jerusalem. Here, too, that same model of the action and then the return to Jerusalem is mentioned. And there seems to be an attempt here to draw a direct parallel between chapter 19 and chapter 20. Just as Yehoshaphat succeeded in establishing the judges, therefore he also succeeded in establishing and in encouraging the battle and joining a battle which God defeated for him rather than him having to fight for himself. And this is illustrated in Pasuk 28 and 29, which I'll read together. Vayavo Yerushalayim bin valim uvchinorot uvchatzatzrot el beit Hashem. Vayhi pachad Elokim al kol mamlechot haaratzot bishom'am ki nilcham Hashem im oyvei Yisrael. They came to Jerusalem with lyres, with stringed instruments, as well as with trumpets, to the temple, to the house of the Lord. The fear of God was upon all the kingdoms of the nations when they heard that God fought with the enemies of Israel. And here we have two parallels to the Sippur of Kriyat Yam Suf. First of all, the idea of Ki Hashem Nilcham Lahem B'Mitzrayim, for God fought against Egypt for them, is repeated here, Ki Nilcham Hashem Imavei Yisrael. And second of all, the idea of musical instrumentation that evokes the idea of Shirat Hayam. Upon the completion of the victory, they sing a song of praise to God. This concludes the narrative of this battle. There are several more psukim which briefly conclude the stories of Yehoshaphat. These are largely taken from Sefer Melachim. They mention that Yehoshaphat did have a certain alliance with the house of Ahab, which was not successful. But overall, the narrative of Yehoshaphat in Sefer Divrei Hayamim is a positive narrative. It is overall a narrative that focuses on two sections. First of all, Yehoshaphat appoints teachers and is then saved from his misalliance with Ahab. Then Yehoshaphat appoints judges and is saved from a terrible battle against the Ammonites, Moabites, and Edomites.